here on VOA Africa.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
This is VOA Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. It's the fifth day of action at the Women's World Cup football tournament in France. In Tuesday's first match in Le Havre, the Netherlands beat New Zealand 1-0. Dutch midfielder Gilles Roord headed home from close range in second half stoppage time. And yes, you'd be correct in describing the Dutch women as drama queens. Three of their four Women's World Cup goals have now been scored after the 87th minute, and all three have come from substitutes. In Monday's results, Argentina and Japan played to a scoreless draw in Paris, while Canada edged Cameroon 1-0 in Montpellier. Argentina has a very proud pedigree in the men's game, with two World Cup titles and superstars past and present like Diego Maradona and Lionel Messi. And in the words of Argentina's Women's World Cup coach Carlos Borrello, "For women's football in Argentina, it is great that we are starting to flourish." With that draw against the Japanese, Argentina earned its first point ever at a Women's World Cup. Argentina lost its previous six Women's World Cup matches in 2003 and 2007, and it missed qualifying for the 2011 and 2015 tournaments. In Monday's Canada-Cameroon match, 23-year-old defender Khadija Buchanan charged into the box on a corner kick, and her header bounced into the goal at the end of the first half. Now, Khadija is based in France, where she plays for European champion Lyon. Meanwhile, several women's players with ties here to the Washington area are competing at the Women's World Cup. The Washington Spirit of the National Women's Soccer League have sent five players to France. These players include two Americans, Mallory Pugh and Rose Lavelle, as well as two Australians and one Jamaican. The Spirit are having a successful season domestically as well. Richie Burke, the head coach of the Spirit, has led his team to a record of 5 wins, 1 loss, and a draw in his first year at the helm. Currently, the Spirit are in first place in the National Women's Soccer League. Brown Daily Herald sports writer and Voice of America intern Ryan Handel spoke with Coach Burke about the Spirit and their players' World Cup prospects. First, Ryan asked Coach Burke what has allowed his squad to jump out to such a fast start this season.
The players have responded really well to training methods and ideas and the concepts that we've offered to them, and they're good players, and as a result of that, we've got some good results.
Moving on to the main topic of discussion, two of your players, Mallory Pugh and Rose Lavelle, are currently in France competing for the United States women's national team in the World Cup. What do those two players bring to your squad?
Well, we actually have 5 players playing the World Cup. We have 2 U.S. players and 2 Australian players, and we also have Shayna Matthews who's playing for Jamaica. So we actually have 5 players missing during this current phase of the season. So obviously they're a significant loss. But the good thing for us and our club is being able to benefit from it. The spectrum of ability is not so broad with the squad. It's a very thin spectrum, and players at the lower end have stepped up and done really well. So during this period, we certainly lacked having the 5 players around, but we haven't lacked for quality on the field.
How do you believe this international experience will help these 5 players when they return to the Spirit?
Oh, absolutely, will help them. You know, being on the international stage and being watched by, you know, a global crowd and on TV, playing against the best players on the planet, of course, it serves them really well. I think it will help them to become more confident I think it'll help them realize that they are actually the best players on the planet, amongst the best players on the planet. And I think it'll translate into performances when they come back to play in our league.
One of your players, forward Mallory Pugh, she's only 21 and she's already emerged as a key player for the United States. So can you talk a little bit more about her potential?
Potentially, Mal, you know, is world class. She's a young player, but she's technically very, very gifted. She's tactically very switched on as well. For such a player so young, who came into the professional game at such an early age, I think her progress over the last couple of years has been fantastic. I've only just got to work with Mal this year, and I've been very impressed with her in training, very impressed with her in matches and how she carries herself. Her comportment's great, so I think she's got a great career ahead of her.
Rose Lavelle, since coming to your team from the Boston Breakers 2 years ago, she's been a consistently good player for the Spirit, both in the lineup and off the bench. What kind of role do you think she'll play for the United States team?
She is probably their most mercurial player. I know Tobin Heath is very good one-on-one, but Rose is a very crafty, cerebral, creative, imaginative player, and I think she'll be the one, if necessary, to open up defenses, because she just sees a great pass. She's got a great imagination, and you know, that's what she brings to us as well. I only came on board this year, so I've only had to work with her for a short period of time. She had a bit of an injury-plagued season last year. Well, we hope she comes back from the World Cup brimming with confidence, full of self-belief, and lights it up for us when she gets back.
The United States opens the World Cup with a match against Thailand, and they'll also face Chile and Sweden in the group stage. Any insights on how the United States matches up with these teams?
Well, you know, I think it should be a rout against Thailand. I just don't think athletically they'll be able to deal with the pace and strength, athleticism and competitiveness of the U.S., so I would imagine that's going to be a rout. Chile will be a little bit more organized because they're a football nation that's got a bit of history about them, so I think that will be a little bit harder, but I still expect the Americans to beat them comfortably. The Sweden game is a toss of a coin. They've got a bit of history, so you know, I think the U.S. will be happy with a 1 or 2 goal win, but it could really easily go either way, and you know, if you're looking at it, the neutral would say it's got a draw written all over it, but we'll see. I hope that the U.S. and Mal and Rose in particular put in a good performance and win all three games.
That's Richie Burke, the head coach of the Washington Spirit team in the National Women's Soccer League. And Coach Burke spoke with Brown Daily Herald sports writer and Voice of America intern Ryan Handel. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. One of the professional soccer teams here in the United States is copying European clubs by sponsoring a training academy that includes some of Africa's best young players. Thierry Kaore reports from Wayne, Pennsylvania, just outside Philadelphia.
U.S. Major League Soccer's Philadelphia Union sponsors more than 80 young footballers here at its training academy in Pennsylvania. Owner Richard Graham says African players are an important part of the academy's international mix.
We have a number of boys coming from West Africa who have come to the school, and with what they bring to the community is magical. These boys who have come from other parts of the world have brought a part of that piece of the world with them here, and helped make this a very, very special place. And we take that sort of culture piece very, very seriously, because we believe to develop world-class players, you have to develop a world-class person.
There are boys from more than 40 nations here, all of whom Graham says share the dream of becoming professional footballers. Aboubakar Kamara joined the academy from Guinea in 2012.
I think the coaches are great because they will help you whatever you need. They will give you time before practice and after practice, and you can always talk to them when you need it. You can go over video anytime you want to.
The training academy also sponsors academic classes, offering students a variety of courses. Patrick Bowie came from Guinea in 2016.
Out here we have everything. It's not like other school that you learn, you do whatever you do by yourself. But here it's like a family. Everybody's there for you whenever you need help. So I'm really happy and glad to be here.
All we're looking for are those reactions, though, right? So when we turn it over...
Academy coach Kevin Coleman says African at the academy raise the level of play.
Patrick and Abubakar are great additions. You know, they're obviously younger as well, so it's great to see them fit in with the older group, but also, you know, boys that fit the profile, you know, the hard work, the explosiveness, but then also their soccer and their ability to play under pressure. So.
Academy director Tommy Wilson is from Scotland and says instructors are here, mindful of the needs of players who are far from home.
As an immigrant myself, I know the challenges in coming to another country. Immigrating can be quite overwhelming. But what I would say is that this school provides an outstanding opportunity, a life-changing opportunity.
Cecilia Gill helps look out for immigrant players who live in academy housing.
It's more than just a job. You become like their second mom, like their mom away from home. It's a new adventure every day. You get to know them personally, and I enjoy doing this.
Marcos Blas joined the program from Ivory Coast in 2015. Now he's going to university.
I feel like I'm surrounded around brothers. So it's like a brotherhood and family, so everything put together. You cannot really find this type of environment everywhere. So I'm like blessed to be here.
The Philadelphia Union Club offers developmental contracts to some of the players, all of whom remain eligible to play for the country's national teams. Thierry Kaore for VOA News, Wayne, Pennsylvania.
Thanks, Thierry. And I know the Philadelphia Union team hopes to see some of the young Africans at its training academy develop into full-fledged Major League Soccer players. Philadelphia is currently in first place in the MLS Eastern Conference with 31 points from 17 matches. The Montreal Impact and DC United, the MLS team based right here in Washington, are next in the standings with 27 points each. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Just ahead, the defending champion Golden State Warriors avoid elimination in the National Basketball Association Finals. But first, these VOA programming announcements.
Listen to VOA's program lineup live anytime, day or night. Pick out your favorite shows and listen anytime you want. Download our podcasts. Check VOA Mobile from your cell phone. Subscribe to VOA Newsfeed. VOAnews.com.
If you were to talk to us from the deepest better part of the bottom of your heart. Hello, I am Shaka Salih, the host of Straight Talk Africa from the Voice of America. Each Wednesday night, I'll put you in touch with newsmakers and experts as they, you and I, talk about the most important social and political issues in Africa. Shaka Salih saying, I'll be waiting for your call Wednesday night on Straight Talk Africa from the Voice of America.
An update now on the National Basketball Association Finals. It was a nail-biter of a Game 5 with the reigning champion Golden State Warriors eking out a narrow victory over the Toronto Raptors. I'll pass things off now to my VOA colleague Steve Miller as he takes the ball and drives down the court. Sporty greetings, Steve.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. You're right that it was a nail-biter. Odds makers had the Raptors winning the NBA Finals in five, but like you said, that was not to be. The Raptors up north in Toronto blew a late six-point lead, and with it, their first chance to seal their maiden NBA championship as the Warriors of Golden State overcame the loss of all-star forward Kevin Durant to win Game 5, 106-105. Golden State Warriors head coach Steve Kerr said that he was at a loss for words following the must-win game.
Honestly, I just told the team I didn't know what to say because And on the one hand, I'm so proud of them, just the amazing heart and grit that they showed. And on the other, I'm just devastated for Kevin. And so it's a bizarre feeling that we all have right now. An incredible win and a horrible loss at the same time.
The Warriors, who are bidding for a third straight title, led for most of the game in Toronto and secured the win behind 23 pointers and some gritty defense, cutting the Raptors' advantage to 3-2 in the best of seven series. Raptor coach Nick Nurse told reporters after the game, this series could go the distance.
I expect this one to be a long series. I'm not sitting here trying to think we should be this, be that, but if you'd have probably told me at the start of this thing if we could fast forward to a 3-2 lead you want to take it, I'd probably say yes.
The two-time defending champions were initially energized by the return of Durant, who came back to the starting lineup after missing more than a month with a right calf strain. But Durant's return to action ended quickly and painfully Monday night. Durant had made a trio of three-pointers and scored 11 points, but grabbed for his right Achilles and calf area while attempting to drive past Toronto Raptors forward Serge Ibaka with 9:46 left to play in the first half. The Warriors were leading 39-34 at the time, and the home crowd erupted with cheers as Durant crumbled to the hardwood. Ibaka and Kyle Lowry motioned to hush the fans as Durant was walked to the other end of the court and down the tunnel to the locker room. On top of his 11 points, Durant had two rebounds and one block to help the Warriors set the early pace in the game. After the game, Bob Myers, the Warriors' president of basketball operations, confirmed that Durant has an Achilles injury.
I don't know the extent of it. He'll have an MRI tomorrow. Prior to coming back, he went through 4 weeks with our medical team, and it was thorough, and it was experts and multiple MRIs and multiple doctors, and we felt good about the process. He was cleared to play tonight. That was a collaborative decision. I don't believe there's anybody to blame, but I understand this world, and if you have to, you can blame me. I run our basketball operations department. And let me tell you something about Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant loves to play basketball, and the people that questioned whether he wanted to get back to this team were wrong. And I'm not here to, he's one of the most misunderstood people. He's a good teammate, he's a good person. It's not fair. I'm lucky to know him. I don't know, I don't have all the information on what really the extent of what it all means until we get an MRI. But the people that worked with him and cleared him are good people. They're good people.
The Warriors also lost Kevin Looney in the fourth quarter. Looney aggravated a rib injury he sustained earlier in the series. The Warriors announced with 8 minutes left in the game that Looney would not return. Fellow teammate Klay Thompson felt the loss of his comrades.
It's tough. Really, it sucks, man. I feel so bad for those two, especially Kevin. I don't know the extent of his injury, but that's never fun, man. For him to put his health on the line, to come back and compete at the highest level, he's one of the best to ever do it. I want to try to win this for him. We miss him. We just hope him a speedy recovery. That's our brother, and it's honestly, to be honest, it's very deflating. It's hard to even celebrate this win.
And Steph Curry added,
everybody gets so wrapped up in, you know, chasing championships and the greatness that you see on the floor, but life is more important in terms of, you know, caring about an individual and what they're going through on a daily basis. And you see the commitment and the challenges and just the what's been thrown at KD, you know, this whole year, really. And he gave us what he had. He went out there and sacrificed his body. And you know how it turned out. So a part of our mentality and, like, the experiences, the shared experiences that we have as a team and what we've all been through, that's way more important than anything that happens out there, you know, long-term anything that happens on the court. And I just feel so bad for him, to be honest. Like, that's, nobody should have to go through something like that, especially with this stage that we have.
For their part, the Raptors were able to take the lead in the fourth quarter after trailing most of the game. Toronto was up by 6 with about 3 minutes left to play, but then the Warriors finished the game on a 9-2 run that included three-pointers by Curry and Klay Thompson to bring home the win and extend the series. The series is on pause as the teams travel to the left coast for Thursday's Game 6 in Oakland, California, and Raptors forward Kawhi Leonard says they know what they have to do.
Be mentally focused, try to limit our mistakes, and be the aggressor. And just play hard, 48 minutes, and, you know, see what happens. Play confident.
And with that, the ball is back to you, Sonny.
Thanks, Steve. That's my VOA colleague, Steve Miller. I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. In more National Basketball Association news, four-time NBA champion Tony Parker announced his retirement after 18 seasons in the league. The 37-year-old French point guard played 17 seasons for the San Antonio Spurs before joining the Charlotte Hornets this past season. With the Spurs, Tony Parker won NBA titles in 2003, 2005, 2007, and 2014, and Tony was named the NBA Finals MVP in 2007. In Major League Baseball, Boston Red Sox fans held signs of support Monday night at historic Fenway Park for David Ortiz. The 43-year-old Ortiz, who retired from the Red Sox in 2016 after a star-studded career, was shot Sunday in his native Dominican Republic. The AP's Oscar Wells Gabriel reports.
It happens in just a few moments. Footage being posted by several news websites show David Ortiz sitting at a club speaking to another man when the gunman approaches. He apparently says nothing before stepping into a crouch and fires once, nearly at point-blank range into Ortiz's back. You can see the smoke issue forth from the gun as the former Boston Red Sox slugger lurches first upward, then slumps down to the floor, hands clutching at his midsection. It was just one bullet, but it apparently did a lot of damage. Reports from the Dominican capital say that David Ortiz underwent 6 hours of surgery to remove his gallbladder and parts of his intestine. Doctors have also reported that he suffered damage to his liver. David Ortiz has been moved to Boston, where his legend as a sports figure was built. It is also where his treatment will continue, as fans and well-wishers have been hoping for the best for the 43-year-old ex-baseball star fans knew as Big Poppy. I'm Oscar Wells Gabriel.
And we here at the Sunny Side of Sports send good healing wishes to Big Poppy, David Ortiz, and his family. The Sunny Side of Sports programming note, I'll be out the rest of June as I take some family leave. Dan Friedel will be hosting the show on Wednesday and Thursday, and my VOA colleague Steve Miller will host the program on Friday. Turning to tennis, newly crowned French Open champion Ashley Barty's first Grand Slam title has allowed her to rise to a career best number 2 in the women's world rankings. Barty moved up 6 places and now trails only reigning U.S. Open and Australian Open champion Naomi Osaka of Japan. Ash Barty's move to world number 2 comes almost 3 years to the day after she re-entered the WTA rankings following a hiatus from tennis while she played professional cricket. The top 8 spots in the men's rankings remain the same, with French Open champion Rafael Nadal at number 2 behind Novak Djokovic. Roger Federer is still number 3, and French Open runner-up Dominic Thiem is number 4. And that wraps up the June 11th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Bill Andrade. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. See you next month, sports fans. And that's the sunny side of sports.
I get it.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, the CEOs of Kenya and South African Airways have announced their resignations. Does this signal a lack of progress for African airlines? Africa's airline woes on the next Straight Talk Africa.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
Hello, this is James Butte, Managing Editor and host of VOA's Daybreak Africa show. Join us Monday through Friday at 03, 04, 05 and 0600 hours UTC as we bring you the latest Africa news, features and sports. You can also be a part of Daybreak Africa through our mail segment by sending your comments to daybreakafrica at voanews.com. Or you can call us on 001-202-205-9942. And when you hear the Voice of America identification, press the number 25 to leave us your message. That's Daybreak Africa at 03, 04, 05 and 0600 hours UTC right here on VOA Africa.
VOA brings you the best in African music on the African beat. African beat showcases the latest and the greatest of contemporary African music, from bobo music to hip life, bongo flavor to soukous, afrobeat to ndombolo and makossa to kwaito. The African beat on VOA has it all. And it's happening right here, Mondays through Fridays at 09:05 and 20:05 UTC right after the international news.
This is Science in a Minute.
Sleep deprivation has long been linked with having a higher risk for cardiovascular disease and even death from coronary heart disease. A study published in the journal Psychosomatic Medicine suggests one possible reason is that having a bad night of sleep can cause blood pressure to spike. The researchers studied 300 men and women between the ages of 21 and 70 with no history of heart problems. The participants wore portable blood pressure cuffs and had their blood pressure randomly measured over a two-day, two-night period. To gauge their sleep efficiency, they also wore devices that measured movement as they slept. The researchers found that the participants with lower sleep efficiency readings also showed an increase in blood pressure during the night and a higher systolic or upper number blood pressure the following day. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
Join your host, Larry London, for Border Crossings, VOA's Worldwide Music Request Hour, every weekday at 1500 Universal. Tune in to hear your favorite songs and artists, win prizes and giveaways, and get the latest scoop from exclusive celebrity interviews. Send in requests to our Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, or call 202-618-2077 to have your favorite music played for the entire world. Don't miss Border Crossings every weekday at 1500 Universal.
VOA's Learning English is available online at learningenglish.voanews.com. Check out our programs such as Let's Learn English, English in a Minute, Everyday Grammar, and many more. VOA's Learning English, your reliable source for learning English.
The Voice of America's flagship global news program, International Edition, brings you an in-depth look at the biggest stories of the day. Nobody covers the world more comprehensively than VOA. We have hundreds of reporters gathering the news and the views of the most seasoned experts on international issues. Tune in Monday through Friday at 17 UTC and 2230 UTC. We're also available online at voanews.com.
We are always glad to have our listeners throughout Africa tuning in to our newscasts covering Africa and the world news. Tune in on top of each hour, 24/7. VOA is your trusted source of news and information.